Hey there, Admissionado listeners, and welcome to another episode of the League of Extraordinary Applicants, the podcast where we chat about what it takes to create a winning application in today's super competitive landscape. I'm Stephen Black.
And I'm Cleo Handler. We're your official tour guides for this insider's journey. Each week, we tackle a specific topic, giving insight into each of our Ivy League experiences and the applications that got us there. Stephen, why don't you start us off by telling everyone where you went to college?
All right, so I went to Harvard. I graduated in 2007. My major was visual and environmental studies with a focus on film theory. Cleo, where did you go to school? It's you know, not known generally as a great school, but it's it's a two-year college, right?
Right. Yes. I went to Yale. I graduated in 2012 with a double major in psychology and theater studies. And all of that acting training is what I was just doing there, indulging you, Stephen. It was a wonderful school, 4 years, and it was pretty fantastic.
Great. So up until this point, we've covered the admissions process from start to finish. We've given you advice about how to tackle your high school years. We've ripped apart the application essay and put it back together again. And last week, we discovered that beautiful, mellifluous word, acceptance.
So clearly, you guys are all experts by now. So we're going to leave the admissions process behind and move into the next exciting phase of your life, the college years.
Oh, it's that totally reminds me of Saved by the Bell.
Except with less screech and more actual advice. So today we're going to talk about the transition into college.
So life in college is totally different from high school, which isn't a surprising fact, but the transition itself might give you a nice little jolt.
So we're going to break it down into three parts today, academic, social, and personal, and give you some advice on each one. Even though nothing can fully prepare you, the transition is something unique that you just have to experience for yourself, it still never hurts to have some great advice.
Awesome. So first, we're going to talk about the academic transition. So again, this might seem like a pretty obvious thing that academics are different in high school and college. But the way I like to put it, I like to put it in terms of this metaphor. So like high school is like a constant power walk. Like you're constantly walking very fast and it never really eases up. There's never that much time to relax and you've got to keep up this constant, you know, speed. On the other hand, college is like, you know, participating in a track meet, you know, with different events. There's like the 100 meter dash, the mile run, you know, the 800, et cetera. And there's going to be a lot of downtime in between these events.
Right. Yeah, that's a good way to look at it, actually. I think that's pretty valid.
Yeah, I mean, it's like high school is this constant barrage of assignments, like coming at you one after another. And the reality is that many of them kind of are like busy work. But it builds your endurance and sort of gives you this baseline level of intelligence, which is good. I mean, that's what you need for college. You know, on the other hand, college is like, there are fewer assignments, but you know, they're going to usually carry more weight and they're going to be more meaningful. Like you might have a class that, let's say, only has a midterm and a final research paper, but those two things are going to account for essentially your entire grade.
Right, exactly. So like at the beginning, you know, you might feel like, I certainly felt like I had so much time and I didn't know what to do with it. It was like amazing. You know, I got out of class at noon and I had the whole day to myself. But that does fill up pretty quickly once you get involved in stuff at school. But also when you do have major assignments, they really, you know, you take them more seriously. They're more work. They're, you know, maybe longer papers than you're ever used to writing, that sort of thing. But it is definitely an adjustment.
Yeah. And the one thing that you immediately have to learn in terms of this adjustment is a very important term called time management. Just like Cleo said, yeah, you're going to find yourself that, you know, some days you walk out of your last class at noon and you're like, oh, I have the rest of the day to myself. Like, what do I do? So your first instinct, because this is usually how a lot of things go in high school, is like you might just leave assignments until the last minute, because when you're in high school and everything's building up and, you know, you just have to leave everything until the last possible moment that you can get it done. But you can get away with that in high school because the assignments are smaller. It's not right. so much the case in college.
Yeah, time management is huge. It is a skill that you will be forced to develop really quickly. And it might be kind of overwhelming at first because, you know, you think that, like, I'm in college. I should meet all these new people and try new activities and fill my time doing things that I care about. And, like, yes, that's all absolutely true. But no one, you know, you don't have your mother around nagging you to start that assignment that's due next week. And it's really just up to you for the first time to make sure that you, like, budget your time effectively and look ahead and see what's coming and think, like, are you really going to be able to do this all in one night the best way that it can be done? Probably not. So you really have to start taking some initiative in that regard and figuring out a system that works for you.
Yeah, exactly. That's the key phrase, is the system that works for you, because you know, it's going to vary. Your workload and your sort of your level of assignments is going to vary based on, you know, what kind of classes you're taking and what major you're aiming towards. I mean, obviously you don't have to decide freshman year, but it's like, you might find that if you're pre-med or if you're like a science or math kind of major, it might be a little bit more like high school in that you have a constant workload with problem sets and things like that. But you might find if you're something like an English major that, you know, you don't have, you have a paper here and there, but you have a few weeks without like any sort of assignments due, but then, you know, all of a sudden in the middle of the semester rolls around and you're just like slammed with four papers that are due at exactly the same time. So you've got to budget your time wisely throughout the semester.
Right. And also, like Stephen said, if you're maybe pre-med or something, you may have less wiggle room in terms of which classes you're taking. It varies from school to school, but I know at Yale there were a few requirements, a few things, you know, you had to take a certain number of quantitative reasoning classes that were, like, you know, involved math in some way. You had to take a certain number of language classes. But for the most part, if you're doing something where you do have more flexibility in terms of the classes that you choose, you may want to think about that ahead of time. Like, are these all the same type of class? You know, am I going to have nothing to do and then crazy week of midterms? Like, that probably is not ideal. So maybe you can kind of select your classes accordingly and find some that are a bit more like, you know, work on a weekly basis, some with like two major assignments that don't line up with your other assignments. You know, you don't want to choose your classes in a way that you're setting yourself up for a really rough semester.
Yeah, and Cleo touched on this a bit, but, you know, there are certain things like requirements, like at each school, like, you know, at Harvard, there are not only, you know, requirements for your 4 years, like that you should take certain classes in certain areas, but there are also options for freshmen and also requirements for freshmen. You can take like a freshman seminar that won't necessarily count towards anything. It will be an elective, but it'll be this small intensive course. And there's also every freshman at Harvard has to take an expository writing class, which is really actually helpful because it prepares you for your college career of writing academic papers. So were there freshman requirements at Yale, Cleo?
Yeah, there were. There were freshman seminars, which were not required, but they were amazing offerings of, like, you know, small, very specific, unusual classes with, like, guest lecturers who came in just for the semester, which was awesome. But the requirements were, like you said, we had a certain number of writing requirement classes, a certain number of quantitative reasoning requirement, and you also had to do, I think 3 semesters of a language, unless you placed out of it with an AP, in which case you only had to do 1 semester. There were a few things like that. And then, of course, depending on which major you select, there are new requirements that are tailored to each major.
Cool. Yeah, it's similar at Harvard with, like, there's 2 semesters of language requirement unless you place out of it. And it's something I think most students end up doing, just getting it out of the way their freshman year. Like, it's not a freshman requirement, but you just kind of get it out of the way. So the next thing I want to talk about briefly is This idea of the culture of academics in college, and this is sort of a shock to most people. But you know, in high school, you have this collective experience, right, where you and your friends are taking pretty much these exact same classes. You know, you get to complain to each other, and you get to gripe about certain teachers, and you know. Complain because you're all having the same sort of experience, and another thing you do is, like, you know, you walk out of a calculus test and you all talk about, like, oh, what, you know, how do you think you did, what was the answer to number four, I think I got it wrong, blah blah blah. So in college, it's a little different. It's more like kind of an army of one, right? You're blazing your own trail, and hopefully you're not complaining, because I mean, you're in the driver's seat. You're not being required to take the same classes as everybody else, and you're not, you know, you might have a best friend who has taken zero of the same classes as you, and that's right. Just sort of the way it is.
Right, and that's definitely true. It's kind of becomes a joke at these schools, like when you ask someone, oh, how are you doing? And the answer is like, oh God, I'm so stressed. And the other person's like, no, I'm so stressed. And it just becomes this like stupid competitive thing about who has more work. And that's really just not interesting. It's better to like focus on your own path, what you care about, what you're doing, and do it well. But like, I think you'll learn pretty quickly that most people don't want to hear you complain, because they're not even relating to it. They're taking totally different classes.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, schools like Harvard and Yale, where Cleo and I went, they're full of overachievers, but for the most part, people, yeah, don't complain. They know, hey, like, look, I'm blazing my own trail. I have this sort of workload, and I'm doing this, you know, by choice. I'm studying what I want. I, you know, have to agree with Cleo and say, you know, there are those people who, you know, are the rarities, who always want to talk about their work, how much of it they have, like our house, some professor is like, you know, robbed them of a great grade. They really deserve an A on this paper, whatever. And, you know, they got a B+. And I mean, these people are by far the worst people that you'll ever encounter on a college campus, because they never sort of got out of that high school mentality of talking about your work all the time and everything like that, and they're just the center of their own universes, and you know, they don't even realize how tired people get of their sort of whining and complaining. Like, to me, the best part about college is that you can talk with your friends about anything else besides your work,
right.
And right. the people who are wasting their time with that are just like, yeah, they're wasting other people's time and their own by complaining about it.
Right, totally. And one thing I want to add about that is that, in, you know, on the same note of blazing your own trail and not having any set path that you and your friends are all, you know, following, academic advising is something that in college I was really surprised by how much I really needed to find it myself. It definitely exists at all of these schools, probably some better than others, but they all have like advisors there at your disposal if you need help, if you want advice, if you need someone to guide you through the requirements and help you plan the next 4 years accordingly. But I really didn't realized for a while that like I had to go out and look for that myself, and that I needed to stay on top of my course selection alone, and that no one else was really checking up on it. So that's just one piece of advice that I'd give you guys, is to really look ahead, get to know people who might have advice for you in the departments that you care about, or you know, in the college counseling office or whatever. But it might take a little bit of digging. It might not just be there checking up on you no matter what.
Yeah, that's really an awesome piece of advice, and
yeah, it surprised me for sure.
Yeah, and it's something that you're right. People just don't kind of take advantage of it as well as they could, and you know, these people like who could be your academic advisors in college, it's very different from high school. A lot of times in high school, you'll find that if you have academic advisors or guidance counselors, that they're for the most part like kind of unhelpful, and you know, they're not really giving you the best advice, or they don't really take the time to get to know you. It's a real different story in college. But Cleo is right that you sort of have to seek that out, and you've got to at on the one hand be responsible for yourself, and on the other hand, like, seek the advice of others, and that's something, you know, you should do from the moment that you start at college.
Right. If you need help, ask for it, because there are a lot of people there who are happy to give it to you, but they might just, you know, not offer it to you until, like, it becomes too late, unless you really look for it yourself.
Yeah. And the final point I want to make here about academics, which sort of relates to that, you know, we've been talking about blazing your own trail, is, to me, I mean, the best part of college academics is freedom. I mean, now you have, you know, 4 years where you get to study what you love. In high school, you sort of had to take what you had to take. Like, you had to take probably, you know, you wanted to take just the best, most difficult courses, whatever. In college, it's like, no, now I can study what truly interests me, what I'm passionate about. And, you know, you shouldn't take classes because you think you should take them, or this is what, you know, somebody tells you to. You should take them because you want to take them.
Exactly. Yeah. This is the most exciting time to, like, if someone's offering a class on hieroglyphics and you love that, like, take the class on hieroglyphics, you know, do the class on screenplay, you know, screenwriting, and that you've always wanted to study that, and this is the perfect time. Don't like pin yourself down here to only do the things that you think are going to fit into your future majors, or the things that you think are appropriate to the kind of career that you want to have. You have to cut yourself some slack and try to experiment and take things that you might not expect that you would have taken.
Yeah, and there's a lot to be said about that kind of exploration, because it's actually what led me to my major in college, because I was taking a class that counted as a requirement, this class on the history of, you know, the Middle East, and I said, this is a class I should take. This is something I should know about. And I was about a month into the class, and it was painfully boring, a rarity at Harvard, but the professor was just awful and not engaging and you know, wasn't learning anything. And then I looked into taking this film class that was, I figured I'd take it as an elective. It happened to be that on the last day of the ad drop deadline to, you know, get rid of and add new courses, I got into the class, like, one, there was one space left, and it turned out to be the most eye-opening, incredible class that made me realize how much I love film, and that it wasn't just this side pursuit, that it was something that I really wanted to study further and sort of become an expert in. And, you know, and that was a result of academic exploration, that freedom, and you know, that's really a special part of college.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this is your chance. So take all the crazy classes you want to take, and don't just stick to what you think you should. So on that note, I think I'm going to move on to the next topic, which is the social aspect of transitioning to college. And this is really important. This is huge. Social life in college is going to be pretty different than high school, because you're living somewhere with all of your friends. it's very different. When I first got to Yale, it felt like camp to me.
Yeah, and it's social life, it can be incredibly intimidating when you first get there. It's like, you know, it seems like all the upperclassmen have it figured out, because, look, they've been there longer than you, and it seems like they're active and social and whatever. And it might even seem like a lot of freshmen have it figured out too. I can remember sitting in my room with one of my roommates in the first week of freshman year and just thinking, wow, right now on campus, like, every single one of the 6,000 other undergraduates are doing something, you know, more fun and having a better time than I am. It was my depressing and, like, lonely thought. But the reality was that, you know, all freshmen, when you get there, everyone's just as clueless. You know, it's a major life change to suddenly, you know, have the metaphorical cord cut and have nobody watching over you at all times.
Absolutely. It's It's really exciting, but it can also be exhausting and stressful and intimidating. Like Steven said, no one is telling you what to do. You can live with your friends. You spend time how you want to spend time. You can, walk everywhere, and everyone lives nearby. And it's just this like little tiny microcosm of the universe that can suck you in. And it's great, but also there is this pressure, like you said, this pressure to do something awesome all the time, and that's really hard to keep up with. And after a while, I think you find a balance, and you learn that you can't neglect anything important like your academics or your health or your social life or anything, because of this newfound freedom. You have to find some sense of reasonable balance in your life.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's a key word, balance, because you need to have a balance between academic, social, and extracurricular life. Somebody once told me at the beginning of college that you can only pick two out of three of those things to do in college to have either a good academic experience, a good social experience, or a good extracurricular experience. And it's just not true. It's like you can really have all three. But the thing is the tr once you hit this transition, this sort of social transition, it can be an intimidating, and the instinct might be to just isolate yourself at times. But you've got to force yourself out there, meet new people, make new friends. And because you're in this unique situation, like Cleo said, where all of these kids of the same age, your friends are all around you, a step away. And the during the transition time, it can be uncomfortable, and that's okay, but you quickly realize what a unique and incredible scenario it is.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can, at the beginning, if it's hard to, to dive into this unfamiliar pool, you join clubs, audition for plays, find other people who care about what you care about, who are meeting to talk about the lit mag or whatever it is. Anything like that it will give you a schedule, it'll give you something to do, something to structure your day around, as well as a chance to meet people who, might really become great friends, who are interested in things that you're interested in. And I think that's a great way to get started.
Yeah, and it might also seem like your school is dominated by a single social scene, something like Greek life, fraternities and sororities, or at Harvard, the infamous final clubs, that you've seen in the Social Network, the movie. But the reality is usually much more complex than that. Like so. The example that the metaphor that I like to draw up here is that if you're in a room full of 100 people and there's two people who are having a really loud conversation, it might seem like they're the most important ones in there, but they're not. There's 98 other people talking about completely different things, and social life's a lot like that in college. Like it may seem like your school is completely dominated by one kind of scene, but in reality, they're are multiple kinds of social experiences to be had. You just have to seek them out and sort of find your niche.
Yeah, exactly. I totally agree with that. And once you do, it's okay to let other things go, to I felt this extreme pressure in college to do everything all the time. And my friends and I came up with a word for it, which was FOMO, FOMO, fear of missing out. And it was like, you have to do everything all the time. Oh my God. And it's really, really unsustainable. So I think once you find the things that you do care about, and they can change, things can change over time. But allow yourself some time to sleep and some time to really write the best paper that you can, and don't get totally bogged down in the millions of possibilities.
I like that. I like that term, that FOMO. I mean,
Yeah.
it's totally true though. It's like you're worried that, hey, there's just like I said, that first week of my freshman year that I was worried that everybody else was doing something fun and I wasn't.
Right.
It's like, yeah, this fear of that you're missing out on college, but that also comes along with this idea of like you know, that you should drop this notion of like what college should be, right? That like I should have X and Y experiences, I should do this, I should do that. And you know, just focus on yourself. And if you're constantly worried about missing out on good experiences, you're not gonna enjoy the ones you are having. And believe me, you know, you will have many incredible social experiences. But you just don't have to, you know, worry that you have to have all of the social experiences.
Right. You know, no one can do that. That's okay.
Yeah. That you can just have some of the meaningful social experiences.
Right. Absolutely.
The final point I want to make here is that just like with academics, the greatest part about social life in college is freedom. I mean, nobody's forcing you to do anything you don't want to do. And you get to forge bonds and create friendships, you know, on your own terms. You're not confined in within your high school to, you know, seeing the same people every day and a common experience, a social experience in the transition of college is making and breaking friendships. Like you might think that you're best friends, you know, with your roommate for the first month of school, and then you suddenly hate each other. Like,
right.
You know, that's to be expected. That's okay. It's like you're figuring out who you are. So not only are you figuring out what sort of academically what your interests are, you're figuring out socially what your interests are. And you sort of quickly realize that like, hey, I'm going to, you know, I don't have to be friends with everyone. I can sort of, you know, I can be friends with the people that I really want to spend time with. And I can, you know, make those decisions just like I can make academic decisions. You have that same level of freedom, which is great.
And that really ties into our third topic we wanted to talk about today, which was the transition to college personally, on that level, what it's like. And it really, I mean, this overlaps with a little bit of what we said before about social life and everything. But my first note here is that, like I said, there's really a lot to do in college, and it can be overwhelming, and you have to take care of yourself. It sucks to be sick at college. That is one thing. It's really hard. Like, if you know, take vitamins, like, don't let yourself get too overworked or too, you know, go out too much and not sleep for a week. Like, you're the one taking care of yourself. And my first semester of freshman year, like, there were so many new people around with so many new germs, and I had a cold for like months. It was awful.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so the transition itself, both like, you know, bacterially and virally, and also just personally, it can be a shock to your system. You know, it's a major life change. You're being dropped into this brand new environment, this new living situation, and everyone deals with the transition differently. I mean, like Cleo said, the first and foremost, the most important thing is to keep healthy. But you know, everybody deals with, in terms of, you know, emotionally and everything like that, the transition, everybody deals with that differently too. Like personally, I was, you know, homesick for the first few weeks. I missed my family, but even more, I missed my dog. I didn't like not having a dog suddenly. And you know, I had a tough time initially adjusting to the fact that like I was sharing a living space with three complete strangers. That was shocking to me as well.
Absolutely. And you have to, obviously you figure that out as you go along, but yeah, you might not be able to do everything exactly the way that you're used to doing it. And you learn how to make adjustments and how to, you know, compromise and have some time alone and need, you know, be able to do things the way that you want to. But at the beginning, it can be kind of stressful to suddenly have to share everything all the time.
Yeah, and I think that's definitely a topic when we talk about freshman year that we'll get into in more detail next week. But yeah, it's you know, an interesting part of this personal transition, just like with academics and just like with your social life, is that you suddenly have this personal freedom. Again, you know, coming back to that word freedom. Nobody's telling you how to act, what to do, what time to eat dinner. You're free to make choices. And for some people that can be exhilarating, for some people it can be intimidating, and some people it can be both.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, It can be wonderful in many ways, but sometimes it can be stressful. Sometimes, it can be lonely, it can be sad, and that's all okay. I kind of, for a long time, felt like every moment of college had to be amazing. And like sometimes you might just have a down night, and that's okay. And you'll learn a lot about yourself during this time, even if it's not all easy and sunny and perfect. You're growing a lot and learning how to be like a fully functioning adult. So it might be rocky, it might be smooth sailing, but you're gonna get through it and learn a lot.
Yeah, and I think Cleo makes a good point there, and just like to that it's okay, to have those times where like, you're not happy or you have like a down night or whatever. And the other thing I would say to that is it's okay to make mistakes too. Like you're putting yourself out there in all these new different ways and trying these new different things. Like, I mean, I have to say that my freshman year was one of the most tumultuous, most mistake-filled times of my life, but it's also was one of the most exciting. It was a time when I learned, as cliche as it sounds, I learned most about myself. I was, free to become my own person, and all the good and the bad things that came along with it. So a big part of the transition for me was just coming to terms with the fact that, yeah, like I can make mistakes. I'm, this isn't gonna go perfectly. Like Cleo said, it's a thing that a lot of students battle with, this notion that college should be awesome all the time. And it's just no, it's you have to take the good with the bad. And sometimes, yeah, you learn more about yourself from the bad and from the mistakes than you do in the good times.
Yeah, I completely agree. And you learn how to be, not just a good student, but, how to live with people and be a good friend and be. I learned a lot about how to be like a professional human being, like through the stuff that I did outside of school, like theater and everything, and also just like my interactions with different professors. I learned how to like take on responsibility and know that other people were depending on me for things, and that I needed to like be there when I said I was going to be there. And like there's this whole thing at Yale about everything is like 15 minutes late always. People operate on like Yale time, and people get overcommitted and they flake out all the time, and it gets pretty frustrating. And you learn like that you really have to be honest with yourself about how much you can handle, what you want to do, what you want to spend your time doing, and learn to like, deal with the other stuff appropriately and say no and handle your responsibility, but also like look out for your own best interests.
Yeah, that's a great point. And it would be easy for me to poke fun at the fact that you just pointed out Yale students are flaky, because I mean that's not surprising at all. But the reality is all college students are, and that's just it'd be easy for me to say, oh yeah, that's just Yale. But no, that's part of college. That's just like figuring things out. That's people overextending themselves, making too many commitments, and you'll find that it's just like it's part of freshman year to and part of that transition to figure out where your priorities are and what you like and what you don't like, both academically, socially and personally, which is a wonderful transition to wrapping up this episode.
Very nice. So, just to give a recap, today we talked about the transition from high school to college in terms of academics, social life, and personal life.
And we've covered it a little bit already today, but next week we're going to delve deeper into that first important part of college, freshman year, which, believe it or not, for many of you may prove to be one of the most formative years of your life. No pressure at all.
No pressure. Well, we want to thank you all for joining us on this episode of the League of Extraordinary Applicants, and we hope that our advice helps you get that much closer to achieving application success.
Please don't hesitate to email us with any questions, and we'll make sure to answer as many as we can in future episodes. Hit us up at podcast@admissionado.com.
We are excited to hear from you. Questions, comments, feedback, whatever's on your mind. All right, Stephen, that's all for this week.
Join Cleo and me next time for another installment of the League of Extraordinary Applicants. Thank you.